Good evening, one and all. It's indeed good to be in the house of the Lord this evening as we look at God's Word. Let's turn to Psalm 97 and read this. You can read this responsibly, Psalm 97. It's a very short psalm, 12 verses, and we read it responsibly. Begin with verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof.
Come and join around our heart, righteousness and judgment on the creation of
Israel. A fire goeth before him, and burneth up his enemies round about.
His mind is like a door, hear a soul and tremble.
The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols, worship him, all ye gods. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart.
Rejoice the Lord, all the righteous, and give thanks and remembrance
to his own. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks and praise, Lord, for this evening, where thy people can come to seek thee in prayer. Father, we admit, Lord, we are people with many needs. Even before we come to thee in prayer, thou knowest our burdens, our needs, Lord, that we can come humbly before thy presence, Lord, to seek thee in prayer and to also pray for the needs of our church and families and individuals. Lord, we pray that thy presence will be with us in a very special way. Also, we at this time pray for Pastor Ed, Pastor Mark and his family, wherever they are, Lord, that thy protection, thy presence will be very close to them, Lord. Grant us understanding of thy word this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This psalm is a very interesting psalm, actually, Psalm 97. We're going to look at it on four levels. First level we want to look at is the sovereignty of God, how God reigneth in this world. This psalm actually is not known who wrote this psalm. Some attribute to David, but others say that others may have written this psalm. And this psalm was written after the exile, when they returned to Jerusalem from Babylon. Anyway, regardless of who wrote this psalm, we can learn many wonderful truths from this psalm. It is still the infallible and inspired word of God. The first verse here begins with the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigns occurs also in many other psalms, in Psalm 93 verse 1, Psalm 96 verse 10 also, and Psalm 99 verse 1. And another one is Psalm 146 verse 10. The theme actually of this psalm is because the Lord reigneth overall, his saints should rejoice, but sinners should fear his coming judgment. As I say, this psalm can be divided into four parts. Verse 1 carries the subject of the sovereignty of God. It is a very big subject on its own, and many books are written by theologians also on this subject. But tonight we're going to touch very briefly on this topic. Obviously, God has absolute control over the whole universe. God created us in our own image, and the entire universe and every living being is created by God. But we say that in Australia we are ruled by the Liberal Party at the moment, Liberal National Party. In America, the Republicans rule it. Singapore, we know the PAP rules Singapore. But ultimately, who is the overall in charge? God reigns. Not only in Israel, but also in the whole universe. When we look at natural disasters around the world, don't you think that, you know, saddens us? When we see famine, when we see people starving, refugees, you know, and you see the death of loved ones, people in trouble, tensions in marriage, and a whole host of events that affect our lives. But we question God sometimes, are you in control, God? But actually God is still in control. So this is the God that the Bible says, we have to rejoice, eh? The Lord reigneth, even in good and bad circumstances. So the next point is from verses 2 to 6. We look at this passage here. It's, if you read 2 to 6, after reading this psalm, verses 2 to 6, gives the impression that God is a severe God. Many do not rejoice because of God's reign. But some of his enemies in verse 3 reads it as a fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. You remember a few days ago or yesterday was reported that this Muslim guy, a Jordanian prisoner, how he was burned. They throw petrol on him and they light him up. This is the cruelty of people around him. And this does not give us a warm feeling. You see how cruel people are. And if you cast your mind back to Genesis chapter 19, you all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. How the human heart can be so sinful that the Lord rained upon Sodom and brimstone, fire and brimstone came to destroy the city. The Lord can unleash his anger and fury on sinful people and people with hardened hearts. If you read Genesis chapter 19 verse 25, it says, he overthrew these cities and he just wiped them out. Nothing grew in that ground. This is how powerful our God can be when people act in a very sinful way. Because the horrendous sin of homosexuality was why God judged these people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Very sad to see them. And remember the word sodomy comes from the word Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember a politician in Malaysia was charged for sodomy. That's what, where the word comes from. Another event that you can cast back in Acts chapter 5. Remember Sapphira and Ananias? You remember the incident where they supposed to sell a piece of land and gave back to the early church, the apostle Peter, and they did not do what he's supposed to do. Peter told Ananias in verse 3 of Acts chapter 5, he says, Satan has filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back some of the proceeds that, you know, you're supposed to give all, but they kept it some for themselves. And what happened to him? He died. Ananias gave up the ghost in verse 5. That's how God the fury of God can cause this to happen if we sin against God. And also the wife, remember the wife is party to it. The wife did not know actually when her husband was dead. But 3 hours later, she was questioned by Peter. And Peter said, look, whether that land was sold for so much or so. And she was found wanting them. Peter questioned her why they agreed to tempt the Spirit of God. So in the same chapter, verse 10, she also died. She gave up the ghost, yielded the ghost. So this goes to show that God, our God, detests sin. From verses 2 and 6, the fury of God, He can cause, lightning strikes, He can cause fire to rain down on us. So this is the God that we have. Because if you look back at Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, I'm sure we are quite familiar with this. This verse that hits right into our heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, the couple of Ananias and Sapphira, they thought no one can see their heart, no one can read their heart. But true enough, God knows their heart. We are wicked people. Our hearts can go astray. Our hearts can, deceive us, deceive others also. So this is a verse I think we should take stock of. The deceitfulness of our heart. And the third point I just want to draw your attention is our God is a solitary God from verses 7 to 9. Because there are people who worship other gods. 7 to 9. You look at a small g. For thou God art high above all the earth. Thou is exalted far above all gods. Our God has normally written a big G, but these little G's are those other gods that other people worship. And I just, for interest's sake, I just checked through Google and just put a question. How many religions are there in this world? You know what Google said? There's 19 major religions. But you can subdivide them into 270 religious groups. So imagine all these religious groups. Who do they worship? They worship small g's, the little gods that mentioned in verse 9. This is how when you come across people who do not believe in the God of the Bible, this is the God that they worship. They worship a God with a small g. So as Christians, we believe in the God of the Bible. Our Lord Jesus Christ also reassured us when He confirmed in us that He is the only way in John chapter 14, verse 6. He says this categorically. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who can actually claim that? No one else. No other religious leaders can say that. Not Muhammad, not Buddha. No other founder of any religion can say that. Because we are all saved by grace, and it's faith alone and Christ alone. And no religion can make such a claim, as I say. Their gods are powerless. Their gods are dead. They are dead gods. So this is where we stand as regards to one God. We believe in one God, the one true and living God. This is how we should project our Christianity. We believe in the God of the Bible, and we believe that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And the final part I just want to touch briefly is from verses 10 to 12, which I can entitle it, A Saving God. A Saving God. We have this comfort in these three verses here. Three verses from verses 10 to 12. Our God is a merciful and gracious God. When we love the Lord, He hates evil. And we should also hate evil. The lesser we love God, the more sinful we are, as mentioned in verse 10. It says here, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserved the soul of his saints. He delivered them out of the hand of the wicked. So the closer we are to God, we detest evil. The more we like evil, the further we'll be away from God. Because don't forget, we were once living in darkness and we were unsafe, wicked, unsafe person, sinful person. But by saving grace, God delivered us. In verse 10 it says, ye that love the God hate evil, he preserves souls of his saints. See, he preserved us. We are all saints. As Christians, we are saints. He delivered them out of the hands of the wicked. How many of us have been or once were wicked people? Some of us are wicked people. In our own ways, we may not want to admit it. But we are living in sin. And God has plucked us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And life is sown for the righteous. When we mention life, God hates darkness. And in one of the verses that mentioned in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, what is the verse is? God is light, and in him there is no darkness. See, our God is a God of light. And when we associate darkness, it's always with wickedness, sinfulness. And this is one place that we won't want to go near. So this psalm is a psalm that can be divided into four parts. God who reigneth, and it ends with a very comforting verse that the Lord preserved his people. A saving God. So may we all be very thankful and grateful for them, for saving us. We were bound to hell, but God has saved us from darkness and from everlasting death. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks, Lord, for this wonderful psalm that gives us an insight, Lord, into how powerful thou art, thou reigneth, and also thou is a saving God. We know that thou dost not love sinful people, thou will punish those who are against thee, Lord. Lord, thou art Almighty God, the God who created the whole universe, and also save sinful people like us. Lord, we are grateful and thankful, Lord. As we come tonight to seek thee in prayer, may the Spirit lead and guide us in all our prayer requests, and may our prayer also not return unto thee void. Help us, Lord, as we gather in groups later on. In Christ's most precious and holy name we pray. Amen.